and welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene, a podcast that takes you on a journey across Nigeria and Africa to explore the country and the continent's diverse and vibrant culture. Our esteemed guests will share their experiences and insights into the local tourism scene, from hidden gems to must-see attractions. So grab a cup of coffee and join us as we see the world with Ajala Nene. Whether you're planning a trip to Nigeria or Africa, or simply want to explore and experience the continent from the comfort of your own home, this podcast is for you. So sit back, relax, and let's explore Nigeria and Africa together. Welcome, welcome to the Wanderlust Wonder segment of See the World with Ajala Nene. And this is a section where we spotlight tourist destinations in Africa and way beyond. So today our spotlight is Sherry Hills Play 2. The Sherry Hills are a range of undulating hills and rock formations on the Jos Plateau in Plateau State, which is located at the north central of Nigeria. Originally known as Gwol Hill, named after the Gwol tribe who inhabited the area, this hill offers a breathtaking view of the city of Jos and its surrounding landscapes. It has also become a hub for various recreational activities such as hiking, mountain climbing, and picnicking on the hill. The cool temperature, luscious vegetation, and stunning landscape make it an ideal spot for outdoor activities. So, whenever you get a chance to visit Jos, ensure to explore the Sherry Hills to enjoy a panoramic view and experience the twinkling ambience of the Jewel of the Plateau. Okay, our guest is here. Don't touch that dial. Hey, Kaabo! Welcome to See the World with Ajala Nene as we have our guest session today. And I know you can say this woman, you have too many people in this industry, but this person is, we call in Yoruba, you call it Aburo. That's your elder, someone that's older than you. So I have Otumba Michael Balogo.
Yay!
Welcome, bro!
It's nice to be here.
Thanks for being here.
I feel privileged to be here because I've been seeing a whole lot of people. When is it going to be my own turn?
And here you are. You know, I actually called you for the first edition, but you're not available. So I'm glad you're here today. Otumba Michael Balogo is the CEO and founder of Extreme Tours to Nigeria Limited, brand name as Tours to Nigeria, which is a multi-award-winning domestic tour company based in the aquatic city of Lagos State, Nigeria. The company was established solely for the purpose of offering tour packages, promoting them, and creating an inroad to Nigeria's tourism destinations. Otumba is also the Southwest Vice President of the Nigerian Association of Tour Operators, known as NATOP. And he's an advocate of tourism development in Nigeria. I mean, like, guys, if you're following him on LinkedIn, which you should, he's there buzzing and promoting Nigeria domestic tourism, basically, in Nigeria. And I'm so honored to have him here. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you.
Otumba.
I feel like a celebrity already.
You are excuse me. You are a celebrity. Hey, God, I don't understand. You don't know. Hey,
those
guys write book first.
I see myself as
those guys write book.
Patriotic Nigeria, selling my country.
No, but you've been doing, let's get into the gist now. You've been doing a really amazing job. And I just want to know where all this passion came from. Because if you're looking for anyone who's been promoting Nigeria on LinkedIn, I mean, like, seriously promoting the domestic values that we have, you're one of the top people. Anyone will talk about that. So where did this passion come from? Why tourism? How did you get here?
Well, I think for me, I'll say this is a calling. I'm more of a legacy stuff. I think
like
the idea started when I was living in the UK.
Okay.
And, you know, basically I was touring the whole of UK every weekend.
Every weekend.
I have to look for somewhere to go, from Portsmouth to, you know, name it.
I know that transport system is so easy, you can find your way around.
Just go anywhere.
Anywhere. First few weeks. Let me say a story. I went to the UK for my brother-in-law's wedding. My husband and I, he likes to explore too. At a point, we had gone to almost the whole of London.
Wow.
To that point, like my auntie, I went to visit my auntie and she was like, you people have even visited more than me that year. I said, but auntie, you guys are blessed with wonderful rail station. I mean, the day we landed in Nigeria, we were like, gosh, I wish we had a train station like that.
You know, it's just crazy. And that's the same thing for me. The first, I think the first few weeks I landed in the UK, the first thing I wanted to do
was explore.
And guess where I went to explore? Robin Hood's castle. You know, coming back from school back in those days.
Yes.
5 o'clock, you want to watch Robin Hood. Yes. Theme Robin song comes Hood. Up, and then everybody is in front. And then to think that place really existed, and it wasn't just a myth. It
wasn't just imagination.
So that was the first place I said I was going to go. And I went to Northampton. I was in the castle looking at the grounds with the telescope into the whole Northampton region of the Robin Hood Castle. And
you're like, oh my God, this is a real place.
This is real. And this story is really real. I went into the Norfolk forest.
It's a real story. Robin Hood is a real story.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, exists. The castle is there. They have a museum inside.
It was a legacy. Just a, not legacy. I thought it was a myth.
Yeah. It's not a fairy tale story. There's Norfolk Forest, there's Northampton, and they still exist. So, you know, for me, when I finished touring some parts of London, I thought to myself, there are double decker buses. Then, before they have these new bendy ones,
yes.
And the new double decker, I said, we have monorails in Lagos. We could replicate what they have in this country. And then when I moved back in 2008, I picked up a job with British Council. I did 2 years contract staff with them. And but in between all that working every weekend, because it was flexible,
working there is flexible. Yeah.
I just, you know, took up my rucksack. I'll just travel. Then I started writing on TripAdvisor and it became
fun. Why TripAdvisor? What made it? Because I knew you're one of the Nigerians that have really been giving reviews on TripAdvisor. At the same time, I think this is something and they acknowledged you.
Yeah, Vaito. I got Nigerian listed on that.
Yes, exactly. So why did you do that? What was your aim?
Yeah, because for any normal international traveler, TripAdvisor is your number
go-to.
Like
for review.
If you go to Ghana, you've never been to Ghana, you're traveling tomorrow, you want to go do reviews. Where can I visit at night? Where's the best nightclubs, the best restaurant? So that is where you get the authentic reviews for any traveler, even business travelers. So I started writing reviews. The day I went to Yellow Chili's, I wrote about it. I saw families coming up to eat Sunday. I said, this would be a nice place for families to have Sunday brunch. Then I started writing stuff. So people had the idea that if I come to Lagos and I'm within Ikeja, where can I take my family?
Yellow Chili.
So I started putting up the reviews, you know, started generating traffic from 10, 20, it became 1,000, and then they'll start, you know, moving you up the ladder. So I think the last place I got promoted to was their senior contributor.
Okay.
Then I'd gotten over 100K, you know, readers on my review. So then I started having friends coming into country and say, Mr. Traveler, where can we go together? I saw this place, I saw Ulumoro. Then, you know, it now became going with 2-3 friends by road to all these places. And then one day I thought about it, I said, somebody should be making money with this thing. So by and large, like they say, when you're an entrepreneur, the first set of your customers
will be our friends.
And I took 20 of my people on my streets.
Oh my God.
On Street friends, a Kenyan chief working with DHL and some other couple of friends. And Calcutta Museum became my first port of call as a tour operator.
Is it one in Abeokuta?
No. The Calcutta is in Benga.
Benga side.
Bemisola.
Okay.
I have relationship with the Kuti family. So that was the first major tour I did.
Wow.
Way back in 2012.
Okay.
So that was officially my first tour. And that's why that picture of the tour at Calcutta Museum was there on my profile to show this was my beginning. And like they say, the rest is history. I started writing reviews. Then there was a day I got on Vaito. Then I saw Nigeria was not listed. Nice, Nicaragua, and then boom, there's no Nigeria. So I reached out to them. This was in 2014, and I explained what I was doing. I said I write reviews for TripAdvisor. And why is my country not there? You know, boldly, like I was working for the government, like why won't you pull my country? And they wrote me in clear, simple terms, we don't want to have anything to do with Nigeria.
Wow.
Yeah. And
was there a reason?
Yeah, there was a reason. Okay. It wasn't even the security issues then.
Was what?
It was more of the Yahoo stuff, the 419 stuff. Because when you're on Viator, people are going to use their credit card to make purchase tours and booking.
So sadly, we are known as the Yahoo people.
Yeah, so that was one of the major issues, not even the security. So I started pestering them, like, no, but we can do this. So I left them after giving it like 6 months of trial, writing back and forth. And as it will come for my favor, TripAdvisor in 2015 June bought over Viator for $22 billion. And guess what? TripAdvisor came back to me and said, we bought that company. We want you back. So I became the first Nigeria to have a package on it. I got Nigerian listed on it.
Awesome.
And I can remember my account officer, his name then was Mark Ock or something. And he said, who are you? I said, why? He said, because we're going to pull down our system, our website. It's like Facebook shutting down for two weeks to upgrade with your name and your country.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to pull it down. They pulled the Overator down for that 2 weeks.
Wow.
And upgraded listed Nigeria.
Listed Nigeria. Awesome.
So the guy said, do you work for the government? I said, no, I'm just
a passionate Nigerian who just wants to promote my nation.
So, you know, when I see tours on it now with other young tour operators, you know, curating their tours, I laugh. Like, they never even get to hear
the story.
They don't
know how the story that it was.
So, thankfully, with our small technology back then, I could munch the screen of before and after they removed
it and so put Nigeria there.
So, I have that. For,
have you ever shared a story on LinkedIn?
Oh, yes.
Okay, I've not seen that.
I still even have all the threads of the email.
Wow.
So, and that's how, now if you go on TripAdvisor and you do a review, somebody can come to that your review and ask for a tour of that place you've gone.
Beautiful.
And then you can charge. So I got them to put prices on our our review now.
Yeah, nice.
So, and
but you still work with them?
Not really, because at the end of the day, should I say a lot of,
Politics.
Fraudulent stuff started going on. Hackers started getting on their platforms. And then you see dodgy packages.
Fake.
You get packages. Emails. Somebody has made a purchase of some things, orders for tours, and they won't show up for the tours. And then you still get paid after 21 days. So they now discover that people were just using fraudulent credit cards.
Oh no, I hope it just doesn't just Nigerians.
Everywhere.
Okay.
So I left it because I just didn't want to get into trouble.
Yeah.
Because they work like this escrow account. When you get an email saying a family of 10 is going to Abeokuta, you use your own money to do the tour. After 21 days, they will now credit your domiciliary account with the dollar equivalent.
Okay.
So I don't know how the scam was going, but people were, you know, I wake up and I'll see somebody has made
a request for your trip,
which was $300 per person then, and then you just see maybe for a family of five you call the lead tour number, nobody picks it up, sometimes it will be a foreign number, and then you let go, like, okay, you've canceled since nobody showed up, and 2 weeks later
your credit your account,
I get money in my domiciliary account, and I was like, I hope they won't come for me one day and say, oh yo, you're just doing these tours, you're just collecting money
nobody's showing up.
But now they discovered that there was a whole lot of,
I really hope they've worked on it and sort of,
yeah, they worked on it, but trust me, I feel very uncomfortable.
No, I think you've also evolved.
Yeah,
you've evolved to the point where, like, you've done this part, you've created this foundation, these things happen, hopefully they corrected it, but you're moving to something else. So now you now entered LinkedIn. Yeah, Baba on LinkedIn, she, you know. Why LinkedIn? Why did you start coming to do your review, your campaign there about Nigerian domestic tourism?
Well, I will say, due to my entrepreneurial journey, you know, I've done the Todi Olumelu Foundation way back in 2015.
Yeah, you are among, was that the first set?
I think the second.
Second set.
And, you know, it was, and I opened,
I hope they gave you your phone, your grant,
everything. Oh. And I've met with the man himself, Tony, on Tony occasions that he remembers that. Let's take pictures. And he was, you know, very generous with that kind of attention. And we took pictures. I gave me his card. We exchanged cards and all that. But for me, I just felt LinkedIn was a platform for serious minded business owners.
Yes.
Like now, if somebody calls me and tells me, oh, they want to do this with me, or you want to,
I go and look for you straight on LinkedIn. In fact, nowadays, I look for, if I don't
see
you,
I don't think you're serious. You're not serious. And I tell people why LinkedIn is really important. Decision makers, government officials,
and they're interacting. They don't have time for Facebook, Instagram. And Twitter itself, that one's far away.
You speak directly to people in power. I have people, ministers from different countries, in Senegal, senators from other countries. A friend of mine, she was here on your program, she wanted to go to Gambia. And she said, I know there's this senator, Muhammadu. that talks to you, that calls you my kid brother in Nigeria. We've never met,
yeah.
but we got connected.
Yeah.
He was working in their tourism department in their New York office.
Mm.
And he said, and she said, can you talk to this person? I have a family going for honeymoon. And I reached out to the man. I said, my big sister is coming. And she said, guess what? What this man gave us, as in terms of tours and everything because of you, was more than what any agent offered them.
So you're saying that LinkedIn is a place where you can connect with the real big people, the people who are making
decision makers,
right? As long as they see that you're serious
and they see you as
and
an
they see an authority in your space. Okay, so how's that been?
It's been awesome. It's opened doors. Like last Saturday, I still had an interview done by an African hospitality magazine in Switzerland, all because of what I wrote about the Duchess and the
Prince
Harry coming to Nigeria.
So
for me, I tell people, you become an authority because you bring out facts. You just don't go and write. And I have a style of reading because the attention span of people is very short.
Especially on social media.
That's why Instagram is good. Just swipe and keep looking at pictures. Yeah. So for this kind of executive, these decision makers, they don't have time to read.
No, they don't.
20 paragraphs.
Oh,
so everything starts from...
Even you and I do.
Yeah. So everything starts from my own style of writing. I put a quote there. The minute you read that quote...
You want to know what's he going to talk about?
Like for the Prince Harry's post I did, I just wrote, if you think education is expensive, try ignorance. Because the British media shows they're very ignorant. Somebody was saying up not in Port Harcourt.
Jesus.
So you see that they don't really get
up not in Port Harcourt.
Yeah, up not in Port Harcourt. You know, so many things.
But sorry, for those who don't know, Port Harcourt is at the south part of Nigeria.
So ignorance is something we need to use
our
platform to educate some of these people.
Because the comments I saw there, and there were people that have never been to Nigeria. And people are bashing us because the prince and then the duchess came to our country and said, oh my God, that place is not safe. How can the royal family come there?
Over 200.
I don't remember seeing any good comment.
Nothing on Telegraph.
And these are people that have not been in this country.
They've never been, but this.
And sometimes too, you don't also blame them because even we ourselves. That's why I said it's people like you that have been actually putting out there. A lot of us who are not sharing good stories, right, about our country. Like if you check very well, I'm very sure you see one or two comments of Nigerians who may have made a comment. Oh, it's true, Nigeria is not safe.
There were Nigerians there.
Even this,
even on BBC, I had to treat somebody's mess up when he said, "Oh, you call Nigeria home." I have over 100 comments. People has liked 100 comments of that thing I wrote. Like, so you can say this
about your own country. You know, so we too have to have that. And the truth is that no country is perfect.
None.
I think that's the problem. We all feel that. Oh, these other countries are more better than us. So there's this lack of pride for
Most of us are not
proud. I'm not patriotic about it. We understand we have issues in our nation. Who knows say that? But the truth is, go to the other countries. Sometimes they even have worse than us. But they've been able to cope it because they know this is our nation. If we speak ill, look at Dubai now, when this flood started. They want, if they saw anybody, if you put picture of our floor near you, we will come after you.
They'll catch you.
And they will catch you.
They will.
But hey, it's happening, there's flood. But still, they were protecting the image of their country. Because it goes a long way. So let's go to your leadership now. NATOP, Nigerian Association of Tourism.
Tour operators.
How did you get to that position? What do you guys do in NATOP? And why is it important for those of us in the industry to join the association?
My story into NATOP too came from LinkedIn.
Oh, really?
When I was writing on LinkedIn, as usual, our current president
reached out
and said, sorry, are you in Nigeria? I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I would like to meet you.
She didn't know you're in Nigeria.
And that's how we met. And the story is here today.
Oh,
she's the current president of Nigerian Association of Tour Operators. I was just a normal member. And I followed in her footsteps. She mentored and she's still mentoring up to today.
Yeah.
And that was how she said, you need to join NATOP. And I said, what do you guys do? She said, oh, this is it.
So what did they do? So for those who don't know, what do NATOP?
So NATOP basically is the Nigerian Association of Tour Operators. And what we do is promote inbound domestic tourism.
Just inbound
domestic tourism. But you know, COVID came. And then the world opened.
Yeah.
And then we started having intra-Africa travel relationship with other tourism countries within the continent. But basically what we champion is domestic tourism. Because there's so much to do in Nigeria. before we start selling other countries.
Brother Mike, like I call you once in a while. I did my final year project on tourism development in Nigeria. Mm-hmm. That's when I knew that, oh my goodness, it's not just one state. Not for all the states in Nigeria, they do not have one, not two, mm-hmm. multiple tourist too destinations. And I'm like, why are we not addressing it? Like, what's wrong? So by the time I did my project, if you see how I was so passionate about it then that my dad was helping me then before he died to do the project. And Olumorok and Badagry slave trade were my case studies. So I went there, got someone to help me give tourists to fill the form. So that's, I can say I did my project. You know, when some people did your project. And by the time I did the result and my like I read sociology, we did the panel testing and we were like, oh my gosh, wow, this is a good project. So my mind went, bing! Then fortunately for me, I got to work in a tour operating company I started my, that's Tour Brokers International, before I started my NYSC. So I worked with them for a while. I got to see the backing of packaging tour. I said, oh, so this company exists. Can we do the same thing for Nigeria? So I didn't know we had tour operators like you guys already doing stuff. Then that's how I bumped into one of our tour operators. My sister told me about somebody that was doing something. I reached out. By the time I interviewed this person for my blog, I found more. I said, oh my God, there are plenty. There's so many of them. Oh my goodness, they exist. So it's just that we need to amplify and show that these people actually are there. And you've been doing that a lot, trying to let people know that we do have this platform. Now, how has NATOP been able to ensure that that is actually, they're carrying along all these, especially the young tour operators, so that we know that we have an association, because association is important.
True.
If you want to grow. And these days, international bodies don't take you serious if you're not part of an association. Let's be very honest. So how has NATOP been doing that for the younger ones?
Well, like yesterday's events,
the hospitality,
I was there with, our president summit. Madam Susan too was there. A whole lot of stakeholders, Azan Zachary was there.
Beautiful.
You know, my own belief is we can go far if we go alone or fast. But when we go together, we go further.
Yeah.
So for me yesterday, seeing those young kids, over 1,000 inside the hall in Marriott, and they were singing, they were clapping, and all this was put together by just young kids.
Oh, so it was the young ones, the association of the...
No, this was on their own terms.
Oh, really?
So for us to be a part of it, I felt very humble yesterday. Like, yeah, the future of Nigeria, anything, tourism, is safe with these people. Over 1,000 from different departments of different universities, Yaba Tech. They came from Abeokuta, name it.
Hmm.
So for us as NANTOP, what we've done over the years is show the interest, the potential of what we're doing, which different states. That's why when we have our AGN, we travel around. The last one was in Ekiti.
Mm-hmm.
This year's zone is either in Cross River or Ilorin. Mm-hmm. So what we do is show the government, like, we are here to help you promote.
Let me say my language. I know Eba.
To promote this destination. And then even in that community, we look for people interested, and that comes to the institutions. So now some of these universities, they are affiliated with NANTOP.
Okay.
So we groom them. So once they get out of the four walls of their uni, they know they have a place
to come to as an association.
So we have those kind of arrangements going on, and then educating them.
Mm-hmm.
Like these TMD groups, I've done mentorship with them. I've opened my LinkedIn to them.
Mm-hmm.
I beg them, any questions, anything you need, if you need me to knock down this door for you. So yesterday at that event, I saw a whole lot of them coming to say, oh, Mr. Otumba, can I take a picture with you? I've been following you. And, you know,
and they're reading and see what you're doing.
And they understand what we are doing now, that it's not like a secret call that we don't show them. So now everybody sees what we are doing. It's an open book.
Yeah.
And thank God to people like them, Gogi Africa. Those were who I looked up to
when
I started this journey.
Same
as
here,
well.
Same here.
So somebody has to lead the way, and somebody has to hold that torch for others coming behind. So basically, NANTOP is there to champion the old, you know, narrative of tourism in Nigeria, that we have these things. When people say, oh, there's nothing to show in Nigeria, and I look at, where have you been
looking?
Like
you said, if it's not educated, it's ignorance.
Yeah, they just said.
I think one of the reasons why I did the 100 top personalities.
Oh, thank you. I feel honored.
No, I took my company and I took our time to look for you people and to find your bios, so that people know that we're not just spotlighting you for spotlighting's sake.
Even right. The government don't even showcase us. They've not even celebrated us.
We still love them. We still love them.
We still do our work. We are part. We are patriotic.
Somebody told me that. So I there's a group that they usually do things for the youth. They award the youth, and they've been doing it for over 10 years. And I noticed that for the 2-3 years I followed them, they've not done anything for tourism and hospitality. So fortunately, I know one of them worked there. So one day I called and said, "Ah, why don't you guys have something for tourism and hospitality?" I said, are you guys really serious? Are you guys existing? Wow. No, he said, no, he was saying, which company? Because every category that we have, like they even had dance category. You recognize people in dance category. People in, creative? And then, tourism. Say, do you have a company that is willing to sponsor for that award? That for agriculture we have, for dancing we have, for singing we have, for acting we have, but we don't know who will sponsor for tourism and hospitality. And we've not seen you guys come forward. Are you guys there? I said, I can spotlight 100 people. So he sold me something about they did for education when they spotlight like 25 people. I said, my company can spotlight 100 people. So I took like 2 months, looked for details. By the time I finished doing that, I said, hey, you can't come and tell me there's nobody in the tourism space doing something. So I want to ask a question. Why will people who are not in our industry not know of what we're doing? And how can we let them know? Like this thing of being ignorant, so you people will be this tourism hospitality. Yeah, you people exist. And Nigeria, you guys are there. But abroad it's no big deal. People know about this hospitality. Mm-hmm. What do you think we can do to change the narrative within us Nigerians first? Before, of course, we can now talk about the international world.
Well, I think the best quotes for this one would be what Steve Jobs said, that people don't buy what you don't show them. A lot of times. The little I can do as a company owner, as an association member, you can't measure it with what the government will do in terms of backing you. Like most countries, take for instance, Ghana, when they did their year of return, their president was the
vocal,
face.
Was the face. Was like was the brand ambassador. Yes.
Then before you can sell such brand and your presidency is behind it, of course, the whole world will hear about it. How many times during the Buhari era and the rest of them did you see anybody champion anything about tourism? And tourism to us is like the lowest hanging fruit.
Yeah.
So Nigerians are more into the buy of the foreign tours. You go on CNN, truly Malaysia today. Down
incredible in, India.
The India is there. Come to Brazil.
Malaysia is
there. We have
the
biggest carnival in West Africa, and yet nobody sees that on the international scene. But when Ghana is doing Afro Nation, owned by a Nigerian brand,
the owner is a Nigerian.
Yes, they are all Nigerian-owned brand. So this is what we're saying. If the government doesn't really show that interest
no matter
really,
what we are doing,
we're just like a drop in the ocean. But
water.
Thankfully now with the standalone Ministry of Tourism,
hallelujah.
It's going to change.
It's been long coming.
And then we have to start selling that narrative of Nigerians being patriotic. You don't have to be a top operator to be an ambassador for your country. Look at what you're wearing. If somebody sees this on Instagram now, they will ask
with my sandals, yes. My showcase sandals. It's true.
You know, those days when you go to people's houses, and let's even be serious, and see throw pillows made from Ankara and stuff, people say, oh, probably you're poor. There was a day I was walking on my high street in London, in Hampstead, and I looked at this interior decor shop, and I saw a showcase, throw pillows, and I saw £50
How much?
On it. And in my heart, my God.
Your heart cut.
£50
for throw pillows.
I said, okay, I'll go and collect this remnant from Taylor around my street and put together. But
which international brand did a dress, an Ankara dress, the thing went viral, and it was about $1,000. I said, if I give my tailor, she'll make something nicer than this, and I won't pay up to 5K.
Of course, there's a brand too, I think it's a Nigerian brand.
So it's the way you brand yourself.
It does Ankara shorts, all the likes of Louis Hamilton that are buying it £100 for Ankara mixed. You know,
and we have it here.
Now they have our silk Ankara in eye stores in London, like Debenhams and all that.
I think it's now we're beginning to actually even value these things. Yeah. Back then, I remember the day my mommy bought my siblings and I knickerbockers that were made out of, we were very angry. But like, I wanted to buy us like Louis Vuitton jeans.
We need to start promoting it.
Or FUBU trainers, you can buy us. But now we're so, I think that identity is really important, especially when you go abroad and you see people in their own communities and all. But anyway, let's do the personal side of you. So 3 things that people don't know about you.
I know sounds crazy. I'm adventurous. I am an adrenaline junkie.
That part?
The last time we were in Uganda, I did white water rafting. My friends were calling like, are you crazy? Why would you go and do this with both stuff?
I
can't stand heights. I have phobia for heights. Yes.
So, well, so that means you can't do skydiving?
Maybe my dead body, the one with the parachute. The zip lining I did in Uganda from Jinja, probably the... Probably am I screaming in Kampala because I almost passed out. When people were saying, did you notice the waterfall? I said, which waterfall? I was looking into heavens. You're telling me about looking down.
Lord, forgive me.
And
you're adventurous, that one.
Very adventurous, yeah. Passionate. There's something about tourism, you can't fake it.
You can't fake it.
There's no downtime, there's no mood swings.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If you call me 2 a.m. and say we are going to Ilorin tomorrow or Kwara, I have a ready-made rucksack, ready to go, toothpaste, toothbrush. I have that rucksack, my brown, famous rucksack. And I just love my country in a genuine way.
Yeah.
You know when people say, why haven't you...
Japa.
I said, why? From Instagram, I told you the story that an ambassador saw what I was doing. And she reached out to me. And next thing, got me an invitation to come spend 10 days with her in the country. So this is what I'm saying, like, see my Awusa bag. The only reason I wanted
it,
the smell of the leather brought this, you know, nostalgic days when you were young with this Awusa.
I told you it's not going back to this bag. Those of you watching on YouTube, I told you it's not going back to this bag.
As long as you can't look for a nylon bag and let me put my stuff inside it, you can have it.
It's so pretty. And I like the smell of the leather. This is pure leather.
Now, you see what tourism does? It opens new business opportunities. Now, I'm talking to the owner in Abuja Art Market.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a whole lot of stuff coming up now that's going to be showcased on my website because people are already asking, they want to buy this.
Yeah, and the t-shirt too. I know those guys that you just partnered with for the
Arewa t-shirt.
Arewa t-shirts too.
A lot of people have already started asking.
I've already entered your DM. But I found that I'm actually following them. So I'll still reach out to you to get the exact person.
And that's the beauty of tourism. It opens up
opportunities.
Other, you know, ecosystem.
Not
everybody
just for
makes
you, but everybody makes,
you go to a community.
I call
like,
it the octopus of the society.
Beautiful. I love that.
Tourism is the octopus of the society.
You go to a society, you spend money there locally. The community loves you. Like when we go to Badagry, Anago is like a celebrity.
He's a celebrity. He has to be. He brings
the whole
people there.
Anytime you come to Badagry, they know there's something for everybody.
Everybody's going to benefit.
And that's the beauty.
So that's the third thing about you. And you said you're an adventurous, you're passionate. One more.
I'm patriotic to the core.
That one. You don't have to. If I don't have to explain that part.
It's
if
like
you guys
an
want
obsession.
To know, go to LinkedIn. Go to Michael Balogu. Otumba Michael Balogu on LinkedIn. He is a passionate, patriotic Nigerian. All right, so what is your favorite destination in Nigeria? I know you have plenty. I know. Just give me one. And why? You have no choice. Pick one. We know you're not deserting the other ones. Just one.
I'm feeling like
don't be shaky. Don't be shaky. Just give me one. But I know there are many.
To be honest,
one that if anyone comes, you say the first place, say, let's try this first. I have other places, but this is a place that I know that I want you to experience before you leave Nigeria.
I think it's Badagry.
Okay, why Badagry?
The rich history, the slave story. And I think we've not even told that story very well. If you check up on my WhatsApp this day, I was still talking about Gori Island. If you put Gori Island, Obama and the wife went there, you know, you can see Michelle visibly shaking, saying that this was what people went through. I tell people, if you put Elmina Castle in Ghana, Gori Island, they'll fit easily in Badagry.
Yeah.
The stories we've not told.
Yeah.
And then we still have them Uyo there.
That's true.
We still have Calabar there. Even recently, I got to find out that even the slave stuff in Nigeria went up north as well.
Oh, it did?
Yeah. Wow. But for Badagry, for me, I think every other time I've gone to that point of no return, I get emotional when I get there. Because visually, because I have a creative mind, I just, you know, picture like slave ships and people like
that. And you're never going to come back to your
And then you just see the smoke from your village and knowing
you're
the way
you're
going.
Coming back again.
I did that, you know, walk and I timed it. It was 1.3 kilometers going in and coming in. And then under that scorching sun with people's...
with their chains and everything.
So for me, I think that's the best destination that sells...
Nigeria
for
very
me.
Well, all right, so to wrap this up, what advice do you have for those coming to the tourism space, those already in the tourism space, and then of course our veterans?
Yeah, well, for those coming into the tourism space, one thing you must think of is what you can do for your country and not what your country can do for you. Once you have that mindset, you're good to go. They won't celebrate you. Like a lot of times when people say, oh, you're the guy that got Nigerian listed on Vice, that is where it ends. There was a time we were at an event and our DG, Chief Olari Nkoka, had to tell somebody, like, he's the owner of that tour Nigeria, and he gave it to us. I had to let it go on my Instagram and change it, mine to tour to Nigeria. You know, people won't celebrate
true,
you.
That's true, because anytime I remember, I don't remember the two.
Yeah.
I think it's yours.
It's just,
but because I know, if
you
not,
know, we are the unsung heroes.
You have to give it to them. Yeah. So at least,
we are on the, and they are doing the same. They have, you know, reciprocated in their own gesture now because of that.
Yeah.
And we have formed
a relationship,
as well. So for me, I see it as a legacy move. Something that tomorrow somebody will say, my dad was part of this movement that made Nigeria, you know.
What it is today.
So that's how I say it. You must be patriotic. They won't celebrate you. Leave that one. If you want to be celebrated, go to Afrobeat and all that. Yes, you'll be a rock star.
At least those will appreciate it. They will appreciate that you're promoting your nation.
Your country.
Yeah.
It's a service.
It's a service.
And recently, you're part of...
Yes, the NESD group, the Nigerian Economic Summit Group. We're both part of the tourism thematic group.
Yes.
And we're recently trying to work on policies for the tourism space. And it's been an adventure.
To be nominated.
To be nominated to be part of that. And when good things happen in the industry, just remember that Otumo Michael Balogu and Nena Faki Smith, Jalan Nene, a.k.a. were part
high
of that.
Five.
High five, bro. So things
we're
like that, yes.
History.
So those are the legacies.
That's the legacy I want to live with, to say, yes, I
contributed
part of this.
Not and you're seeing the younger ones enjoying the work and foundation you have
made. And they're following in the footsteps.
This doing better.
Country. This is the only country I want.
No matter where you go, see, even if you go to Canada, UK, UK, you always come
East
back
or West.
Home. And even if you don't come back home, your children will come back home because they want
definitely.
To know their roots. And you will always be a second-hand citizen somewhere
for life.
Even if you don't like your nation.
Like my son, when he calls his name and I say, what do you call yourself? I say, Michael Balogu. I say, are you Balogu? I say, you're not Balogu. You're not a Chinese. You
it's
have to call
Balogu.
It with the African,
the African accent.
So they will fear.
They will know that, yes.
Balogu means the warrior. Balogu. You say, Mike, I am Ayo Balogu. Let them fear that. A lion king.
Yeah,
girl.
Lion king.
Exactly. So that's the spirit.
But what do you have for we that are still in the industry trying to build this in our own way? We young. We, I call ourselves youngstones. What's the youngstones? Yes.
I think if the likes of Goge has done 25 years in this industry and they're still kicking it, we have no excuse.
Sure.
Nobody has an excuse to back down. This is part of our own journey to be, you know, to say we have our digital footprint in making Nigeria a better country.
Yeah.
And our own story will be told through tourism, even if we don't end up as a senator or a governor.
Mm-hmm.
Through this platform, many will hear our voices and know we are people built on integrity, not just because of the small bad eggs in our society. Then you put all of us
in the same
basket and say, okay, they are all bad now. So for me, tourism has been a platform for me to speak. And I hope a whole lot of people, jump on this.
Mm-hmm. What do you have for our veterans?
For the veterans, I'll say thank you to them. And I think a lot of them have really opened up to pass on their knowledge, and that's the way to go.
That's the way to grow.
Like they say, until the lion learns to speak English, the hunters will always take the glory of the hunt.
Yeah.
So we must learn to pass that information, and everybody has a voice.
Yeah.
So I see a whole lot of veterans doing all these things that we still look up to. And then when you call on them, they answer you. I have 60-year-olds in this industry that we still brainstorm and
we share
ideas
together,
even though they don't want to do all the tours again, but now most of them are like consultants.
But that's the truth. Guess what, Michael, you and I will soon get there. We're not the ones doing the tours anymore. You left Victor to
documentary
now, so you're like doing other things because you're leaving. You left Tripod, you've done with Trip Advisor, you've done your part. Then now it's the younger one. So that the whole idea is create that foundation, because one day we're all going to be old one day, and our hope is to transfer what we've learned to the upcoming one so that they can continue that legacy and even make it better for the next generation to come. So very, very important.
And they must understand tourism is not a quick return on investment.
Say that again, please.
Tourism is not a quick return on investment.
Say one more time.
They must be patient. Patience must be a virtue for them. Tourism is not a quick return on investment. You don't build your hotel today and expect to make that money
immediately.
Yeah. So it's something that will teach you patience along the way.
Yeah.
Integrity speaks volume in this business. And people must trust you with their money.
See, I think our business is integrity business. So it's not you have done 1,000 tours. I've done plenty tours, and just one tour almost destroyed their business.
You know the beauty of it is somebody that you've never met. I've had people send $3 million to my account and they've never met.
But they see the work you're doing. I said, you know the beauty of it.
Somebody sent $3 million, $4 million to your account. Mm-hmm. And up to today I've never
met the person.
And it was just transaction over WhatsApp.
Can you imagine?
That's
on WhatsApp, not even LinkedIn.
And this person said, oh, I want to go to this resort. I said,
and
send picture.
And then you did
5 minutes, you know, it conversation, send your account. I was like,
because the person has been watching you.
Definitely.
And seeing that, okay, this guy has integrity. I mean, even me, for me to get to this point where I'm calling all of you to come to my podcast and you people are appearing. Do you know what that means to me? It means you guys have been watching me. So I was like, this person was on your podcast. This person. I'm like, see, it took me almost 7 years, because this year is going to make it 7 years I've been in the industry, for people to trust me to say that, Ajala Nene's podcast is worth coming to come and talk, right? But it took me these years for you people to know me, to build the integrity, for you to get to the point to come and sit down here and humbly talk to me about your story. So yes, our industry is hospitality, it is trust, it is integrity. If you don't have these three things, don't even bother coming to the industry. Don't even bother.
Me, that I'm an introvert, for me to come here today. I said, if it's not Nene, nobody will find me on the roads of Lagos.
That I'm feeling. Thank you so much, Otumbaba Michael. I've watched you, and I know the kind of people that I always reach out to when I have issues and I need your advice. Thank you for always being there. Thank you for spotlighting Nigeria as a tourism destination, and anybody can come and visit. Like, I really love that post about the Prince Harry and you see, I hardly reshare people's stuff on the
I know.
I have to reshare. And when I reshare, I don't make comments. But this, I said, no, I must comment, because guy, this dude has been trying to promote, and you people are just coming from nowhere. You want to say that Nigeria is nowhere is safe. But let's be honest.
But to be honest, the magazine interview I had with these people in Switzerland, I said, charity begins at home. If their UK was that good, your Peking, your prince won't leave to go to America.
you have to just stroke that
face
there.
No, because the ones they gave us was too much. Let me even rub their own face.
Dr. Michael, thank you so much for being here.
Gracias.
I appreciate it. Guys, I hope you enjoyed this and you learned something from him. And we are saying Toulouse. Bye.
Irio.
Odabo.
Irio.
And with that, we conclude our journey across Nigeria and Africa on See the World with Ajala Nene. We hope you enjoyed exploring this journey with us and that you feel inspired to discover its unique beauty for yourself. Thank you for listening. For your feedback and comment, feel free to hit us up across our socials at See the World with Ajala Nene, and you can find me personally at Ajala Nene on Instagram. Until next time, stay curious and keep exploring. Your journey and your adventure awaits you.